Well, it's my extreme pleasure and privilege at this point to visit with a dear old friend and a current friend and one to whom we owe some extreme thanks and gratitude for service to our country and to his family, none other than the Honorable Mr. Nick Turner. Mr. Turner, a pleasure to get a chance to visit with you again, and thank you so much for making time to talk with me.
Yeah, absolutely, Jerry. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me and talk about this wonderful opportunity that we were able to bring to the state of Iowa.
Well, I'm excited about it and glad that you'd take time to make our people aware of it. And then I want to talk a bit about your family. But first, tell me and make our listeners aware of the rare opportunity that they're going to have this Saturday in Council Bluffs. What's going to happen, where, when, and why, Mr. Turner?
Absolutely. Yeah. So about a year and a half ago, we started working on the possibility of taking over the custodianship of a very rare aircraft, a UH-34V Sikorsky helicopter. And the significance of this aircraft is that it was owned and flown by HMM-362, known as the Ugly Angels. They were the first squadron in Vietnam, April 15th, 1962, flew off the USS Princeton. And I brought this helicopter home to Iowa last Saturday evening on the 25th of April. And now she's a permanent Iowa resident. And my intention is to fly it to schools, reunions, air shows, and educate everybody about the sacrifices that a lot of these heroes of the Vietnam War, what they experienced. I had a gentleman by the name of Travis Sales who reached out to me via email because he saw WHO 13 Roger Riley's video that he put on social media and that WHO put on the news. Travis is the son of Colonel Joseph Sales, who is one of the last surviving Ugly Angels who flew on that mission April 15th of 1962, like I mentioned. And he's 89 years old. He's had some struggling health issues. He's from Omaha. He lives in Omaha. And we're going to fly this helicopter over this Saturday to Council Bluffs Municipal Airport. And Colonel Sales and his family are going to get an opportunity to reunite with an aircraft that he knew better than the back of his hand. Taken back to the time when he was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. So I'm overjoyed and excited, and it's going to be a very emotional event. We're planning for the first part of the event to be kind of an opportunity, more for his family and for Colonel Sales to get in front of this aircraft and just reminisce again when he was taking bullets and fighting for freedom. So we're really excited to do this. And it's exactly why the Ugly Angel Memorial Foundation has trusted us to take custody of this aircraft and to do some great things with it, Jerry.
And the retired colonel himself will be there at Council Bluffs Airport on Saturday then, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, we're going to meet up with him at noon, him and his family, and give him an opportunity to just see and smell and hear this old Sikorsky helicopter that was, rolled across the assembly floor in Bridgeport, Connecticut in 1961.
People will have opportunity to see him and perhaps visit with him a moment at least, and also to see the actual helicopter. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. She, she's an old girl, but she's still in fantastic shape. She has 54 bullet holes in her. The tail rotor was blown off of it in a rocket attack. It flew all over underneath First Marine Aircraft Wing, all over South Vietnam. And she was in country from 1965 to 1968 until she got busted up and was externally lifted out of the hot zone with a CH-53, which is what I flew in the Marine Corps. And they put her back together and sent it back to the States because at that time, turbine engines were starting to become more prolific and that technology was a little bit obsolete. Well, luckily, she's been reunited and we can get into the story more about how she was brought back. But we really want to focus this Saturday on reuniting this true American hero, one of the last surviving Ugly Angels from that era, that was the first to go into Vietnam in 1962.
Anybody else, and I'm speaking with Nick Turner, anybody else that you know of, Nick, that flew a helicopter like that?
Well, it just so happens that this helicopter is very special to me and my family because my father has it in his logbook 11 times. The serial number 148783. My dad flew in Vietnam, and it's very special to me because now I've had an opportunity to fly it. I flew it with my dad. I've flown my kids, and I've even had my granddaughter has been in it. So incredible opportunity that's been laid at my feet. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to preserve and protect this, so the Midwesterners and, you know, predominantly the state of Iowa has an opportunity to see this amazing piece of history.
And again, Mr. Turner, that will be the helicopter itself. The actual helicopter will be at the Council Bluffs Airport. What time and when?
So we're planning to meet with Colonel Sales and his family around noon. And then, you know, give him a real intimate opportunity to be around the aircraft. And then the airport manager is going to cordon off an area and allow us to let some people come see it. We'll be there until probably about 2 o'clock, and then I'm going to fly her back home.
A sincere and deep sense of gratitude, Nick, to you and to your family, dear, dear friends, and just a great patriots, great people, have such great fond memories of your father, your late father, and of course your mother, your dear sweet mother, Judy Turner, and your family and your siblings, and for your service to the country, for your love for the Lord, and for who you are and what you are, nothing but deep gratitude and very appreciative that the Lord blessed us, being me and my family, with the privilege of knowing and loving you and being friends with you. So thanks for your service, thanks for your family, and thanks for what you have done and are doing. The helicopter, as I understand, was manufactured in Bridgeport, Connecticut in 1961. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. back, you know, this is late 50s, early 60s technology. So you're looking at a 9-cylinder radial engine designed by Wright Cyclone. It has 1,820 cubic inches, 1,525 horsepower. You know, it's a big, heavy beast. It has a 1-inch fuel line, so it'll really burn a lot of fuel in a short amount of time. The hard part about flying a helicopter at this kind of age is there's not very many of them still flying. There's a few guys that are still flying the piston engine version, and then Sikorsky upgraded it to a turbine engine version, which had much better power to weight ratio and did a better job in the high, hot, humid areas, because this helicopter is legitimately a workhorse, and a lot of the guys that still fly it, they use it for externally lifting, like my dad did for 30 plus years in Southwest Iowa.
So was it the military that got him started with his aviation interests and extensive involvement, or what got him started that direction?
You know, being the baby of eight, I wasn't around for a lot of that, but he joined the Marine Corps, I think, in like 1963. Pretty tough times. Cuban Missile Crisis was going on when he was going through basic training. I remember him saying that they didn't even have enough M14 rifles to train with when he was at boot camp. So they were using broomsticks. And, you know, the Vietnam War was really kicking off in 1965. And he went over in a 24-plane squadron with HMM 362 and flew for 13 months in combat. I think my mom told me they only talked a couple, three times. And, you know, back then in 1965, a phone call from California to Vietnam was, you know, $100 or more. And it really makes you appreciate the technology that we have today, because, you know, when I was deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan, you know, we could hop on Skype or, you know, FaceTime and see our kids. But, got a pretty big testament to, you know, the grit of a lot of these fighting men and women, and how hard it had to have been. I'm amazed at what they had to experience. And, you know, the Vietnam service members, they didn't necessarily get the fanfare or the gratitude that should have been shown to them when they came home. And part of the, you know, part of the mission of flying this helicopter around with the Ugly Angel Memorial Foundation backing us as a 501c3 is to heal. It is amazing to me when you put this aircraft in front of people that flew it, people that it saved, people that crewed it, their affinity and their emotions just pour out of them.
Yep.
And, you know, most people don't necessarily deal well with the conflict that they've had in their life, when it's, you know, when you're home and you're with your family. But when you reunite with your brothers and sisters in arms, or you reunite with a piece of machinery that saved countless lives, it is a healing thing. And, it helps a lot of these guys deal with, the trauma that they went through. So we're really excited to try and bring this to light and help with that healing.
Well, it's a very special mission that you have taken on, and thank you so much for doing that. Speaking of your late father, he was a very interesting, talented, unique person. Our listeners...
Yeah, interesting is a good way to put it.
Yeah, our regular listeners will remember a lot of very interesting interviews conducted with my dear, dear late friend Larry Turner, and his helicopter and his craziness and his stories. And what a joy. I'm truly blessed to know your family and your sweet mother, and what a great hostess she has been to my family many times with a great meal around your dining room table. You're, again, can't say enough great things about your family or appreciation to you. But all right, so then tell us a little bit about, let's go back to when you were the last of eight children and how you got involved in the helicopter interest, aviation, and a quick overview of what you have done and where you have come and why you had the extensive interest in this project that you have, Nick.
Well, that's a mouthful. I'll do my best to walk that history. You know, I grew up on the farm in Southwest Iowa, and I didn't know any different. You know, it was what I affectionately like to call castrating hogs, shearing sheep, and fixing fence with dad and grandpa. And then, you know, occasionally we'd go fly and fix helicopters. When my dad got out of the Marine Corps, he had done some spraying, some defoliation work, you know, with DDT and whatnot. And he really liked it. And he thought that this may be a good way to make a living and support a family. So he came back and he bought some small utility helicopters, like a Bell 47, you know, the MASH helicopter that you see with the bubble on it. Had a really great reliability. It was a workhorse, and cut his teeth really spraying crops in Southwest Iowa and beyond. And then he had the idea of buying an H-34, just like he flew in the Marine Corps, and doing heavy lift work. The great utility of this aircraft is that you can replace a crane in a lot of ways. You know, when you look at some of these large malls or shopping centers, or, you know, Amazon distribution centers, or even high-rise buildings, you got to imagine how big a crane has to be to reach the center of a building, or, you know, something that's 30, 40 stories in the air. Sometimes there's no better way to do this, safer, faster, even sometimes cheaper than to do it with a helicopter. So that's how I grew up with me and my brothers, helping dad work on this old aircraft. You know, my brother Tim was an airframes and power plant mechanic. So we would do all the work. My brother would sign it off. We had multiple mechanics over the years, John Berg, Stu Buckingham, multiple guys. And I used to grow up with dad's old buddies coming to the farm, going pheasant hunting that he deployed with. And they would tell, you know, stories of times that they had cheated death. And, you know, I'm a 10-year-old kid just sitting there at the table with my jaw on the floor, and I just couldn't get enough of it. And at the time, I didn't really know, but the bug had bitten me so bad. I went to high school there in Griswold and went to Central College, played football, and I had to grow up and figure out, hey, what was I going to do next? And I wanted to fly. I wanted to keep flying because I had continued to fly with my dad. And then I decided, you know what, let's go to the Marine Corps. Let's serve my country, try and live up to my father's legacy and let the Marine Corps pay for my flight training. So I went into the Marine Corps 2001 and, deployed 5 times, Okinawa, Iraq, Iraq again, and then into Afghanistan. And then I did a couple of deployments outside of the cockpit to Libya, Morocco, Djibouti, Germany, Spain. Spent 4 years at the Presidential Helicopter Squadron, flying President Obama and at the time Vice President Biden. And ultimately retired in 2021. As a lieutenant colonel, and we thought no better way to continue to raise our children, our 4 kids, than to move back to Iowa that we know and love. And, life was simple, a little bit more inexpensive, and it's been great. We built a home on 12 acres here just northeast of Des Moines and close to my wife's family. And this opportunity was laid at my feet about a year and a half ago by the previous owner. I'd love to tell you that it was an easy process, but it was by far one of the most stressful, difficult, on-again, off-again experiences. And I'd had an opportunity to fly the helicopter to a reunion, an Ugly Angel reunion in Pensacola. And then last summer, we also brought it up to Iowa to take it to the state fair and to Nevada, Iowa, to the Vietnam moving wall. And here we are. We were able to make this whole thing work. And, I'm sitting in my office right now and the helicopter is just 20 feet away from me sitting inside my shop. So I'm having to pinch myself at times with this wonderful opportunity that's been laid at my feet. And, we prayed about it. We really had to go through some significant pain to get to this point. And, everybody always sees, the helicopter flying and thinking, oh, that's awesome. You get to do the really fun stuff, but they don't see all the pain and the frustration.
Well, Nick, thanks for being willing to take on that challenge and fulfill it and keep it going as you have. What a tremendous opportunity provided for so many now and for years to come because of your willingness to take on that challenge and make it happen.